It's called Pillars of Hope. I didn't know what to call this message, but we have all kinds of devotional, daily devotionals, weekly devotionals, things. We're going through a yearly devotional. My wife's very faithful in it. I'm less faithful, but she reminds me every day. And we've been doing it every day, just going through the Bible in a year. But one of the devotions that we received at an MFI conference was literally called Pillars of Hope. And it's by a young guy. And he has this whole list of pillars. Pillars of provision is the one I'm going to speak on this morning. Just took it as a theme. But just kind of pillars of in our life. Pillars of passion, pillars of praise, pillars of generosity. These pillars, just this picture of pillars. And that's been stuck in my head for the last week. And if you know anything about pillars, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, they had these two big bronze pillars that they set up. One was called Boaz, one was called Jachin, Jachin. And it, you know, I got the definition here. Jachin, Jachin in Hebrew was pronounced Yachayan or something, meaning firm, upright, or stable. And Boaz, on the other hand, is the meaning is power or might. And so you have these pictures from way back in the day that was to remind people about God's power and might, God's faithfulness, who he was. And they named the pillars. And I was thinking about our pillars in this church. You know, this church was originally built by the Catholic Church. They did not spare money when they built. If you were part of us taking out bathrooms and renovating those bathrooms, they built to last. And if you look at these beams and the pillars they're sitting on, we kind of tried to hide them. You cannot change this building much because you got to fit these pillars. You try to drill a hole in one of those pillars. I've tried. And it's not for the weak and for the faint. I went and bought a special hammer drill, not the most expensive. I thought, this is... And it just burnt the end off of the drill. And I had a hole about that deep, and I need to make about 20 to hang stuff. And I'm like, okay. So we went and got Corey's big thing and just grinding to make a couple of holes in these pillars. So you have to sort of fit everything around the pillars is what I'm trying to say. The pillars are not moving. They're there. And that's why they're there. Maybe we'll give them names. Russell, Herman. Make your head like concrete. That's scriptural, you know. But the point being, pillars are what you build stuff on, and it holds, and it's solid. The other picture that goes with that is piles. Have you ever seen them drive in piles for a bridge or for a building? We were in Hong Kong some years ago, and I don't know what was going on, but they had opened up. We were on the train or whatever we were doing, and you could see story upon story underground. Forget the 120 stories above ground. They build unbelievable. But you couldn't see down, and that was just floors and pillars and piles, and I don't know what was going on down there. But that's the kind of foundation, pillars, piles that we need to have in our life. Okay? So that's where I'm coming from on this topic. And it came from this young man's devotional, pillars in our life. And so I would ask you this morning, what are the pillars in your life? Have you ever thought of it? Do you ever consider what are some of the things that everything else has to fit around? Everything else in your life kind of hangs on, it's kind of built on, kind of, you know, these pillars are not going to move. These areas are what makes us solid. And the point of his devotion, before I go on, was that we are to be pillars of hope in the world. That's why we study the Word of God. That's why we're building up these pillars to build our life on in the devotion that he was doing, is you and I are supposed to be pillars. And I think in a season like that we're in right now, Lori just said it, we heard it in the prayer meeting, whatever, is the world, we need pillars of strength, pillars of faith. We are not of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of it. We are not blown, drifting. You know, that there's all kinds of words the Bible uses of what it means to be just kind of lost and floating and drifting and away and fearful and all the subjects that I could bring up. But we are to be pillars, not cement heads, but pillars, people who just know their God and do great things, people who just believe what they believe and know what they stand on is true. And, you know, if you don't take the Bible as God's word, if you do not have this as the ultimate foundation, you know, Christ, his word in your life, then you got to come up with one. And then you got to decide what kind of pillars you're going to build on that. So it starts with Jesus. It starts with a trust in his word. And then we begin to build on that foundation. And there's many, many sermons have been preached about that. So the pillar this morning is the pillar of provision. And I'm going to stick to it. God help me. But it spoke to me, and I wanted to encourage you this morning. Something about pillars is that they're not seen many times. They're hidden away, but they're there. Amen? Sometimes they're underground. Sometimes they're invisible. Sometimes they're built in, and you can't be sure, but they're there. And I'm telling you, you and I have them, and I want to encourage you to make sure you have them and have some good ones, because we need them today. So, the pillar of provision. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I have to 11, but I think I just might read a couple. His divine power, this is Peter's testimony about Christ. His divine power has given us everything we need. Everything we need. Everything we need. Everything. Not some things. Not a little bit of things. Everything. We need for what? For life and godliness. Many times when I read that, I always think, well, he's given us everything we need for godliness, for church. He says, no, he's given us everything we need for life. Yeah. Life, yeah. And godliness. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And then he says, based on that, you know, make every effort to add. And then based on that promise, you start building. So one of those pillars is that God has given us everything we need for life. So I think you're getting my point. That's where we're going to start with. The pillar of provision. God has provided for us. God will provide for us everything we need for life and godliness. So what does that even mean? What does that look like? Well, it means everything. Through Christ, through the knowledge of him, through understanding God's purpose and plan, we have everything we need for life. We can build our life on it. We can make choices on it. We can walk out our entire life knowing that God has provided for us. So I wanted to start there. Back in the day, I was singing this for Jeremy the other day. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. If you know that song, then you are old, just so you know. His grace is sufficient for me. I mean, what happened to all those good songs? Coming along with these new fandangled things. But it's easy to sing that, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. But it's not so easy to live that out and to walk that out daily and to have that trust in God every day. So I have a couple of comments. I put them on the screen, I think. But when God gives you a dream, it will most likely seem impossible. Usually if you can bring it about by yourself, it's not a dream from God. So in my life, what I've learned is what God's asked us to do is impossible without him, without his provision, without him being with us. So we have a choice to look to our own hand or to look to the Lord's hand for provision. That's one big statement right up front. And the second one is if we ever are going to see God do great things in our lives and through our lives, we need to allow him to become our provider. We need to allow God to work through us to provide what we need. And you say, well, why do you have to allow God? Well, it's true. There's lots of laws, rules, you know, things based on other things If you do this, I'll do that. If you are faithful with little, I'll give you much. All of those things. But we allow God to provide through our life by our commitment to Him, by walking out in faith and trust. And I'll just say it up front. The opposite of faith is not fear, it's disobedience. Walking in faith means we walk in obedience to God, to His Word, to His principles and His purposes. And that promise then comes to us that He has provided everything for us and in our life. So let's look at a couple of scriptures. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. I don't know if I put it on the screen or just the... Okay, just says Jesus was tempted in the same way. If you want to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 4, I'm sure you've read this verse many, many times. The devil comes to Jesus to tempt him. And it says this. I just wanted to read it. I want the scripture to speak to you. Jesus was tempted, first of all. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. No kidding. Then the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And here's Jesus' answer. "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And we could preach all day upon that, but do you live upon every word that comes from the mouth of God? You know, he's contrasting physical needs, bread, sustenance, this world, the life that we can see, with every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that battle is always going to be there. That's our battle. That's you and me. We wrestle that every day. We are flesh and blood. We wake up every day and we see the circumstances, we hear the news, whatever, and we have to decide, okay, am I going to live my life based on what I can do, based on what I see, based on what I can figure out, or am I going to live my life today based on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? And the devil is going to be there to tempt us. He's going to be slapping us around every day. Our flesh rises up, and we have to make that decision. This morning, I'm going to walk in something of what God has said. And that's why I was saying, you know, singing this, turn your eyes upon Jesus. That look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That's a decision that we make, to choose to live by that word. He's got power. There's power in His name to heal. There's power in His name to provide. There's power in the name of Jesus to change my circumstances. I can call on His name. I can pray. And God hears my prayer, and He answers, and He moves on my behalf. And Jesus' reply to the enemy was, "We don't live by bread alone." Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I thank God we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Another verse is Matthew 6, verse 31 to 34. He says, "Don't worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' For the pagans run after these things, and your Father in heaven knows that you need them." But He says this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." I don't think I underlined it up there, but it says the Gentiles seek these things. I like this, my ESV, those pagans. It says those pagans, they run after these things. What a picture in your mind. Like it says these, that's too kind. They seek after these things. It's I like the picture, they're running frantic, because that's most of us. You know, we're quite pagan, actually, if we're honest. But it's like, what a contrast. Here's these pagans, unbelievers, running, frantic, stressed. Markets are changing. What about my investments? I smile because the sort of the ordinary billionaires right now are really stressing, because the big billionaires are making decisions that are, you know, it's not enough to be a millionaire anymore. You know, millionaires, that's nothing. That's one house. What's that? That used to be a big deal when I was young. Now, if you're just an ordinary millionaire, man, it can change in a day in your investment. What happened? Now even billionaires are struggling. Those poor guys. Unless you got 40, 50, 100, 500 billion, you're in trouble. What are you going to do with a couple of measly billions? That's nothing. And they stress out, and you just see, I'm amazed as you watch through social media or news or whatever, just the attitude is like stressed out. And then there's those who are not worrying. And they're not stupid. I may look stupid, but I'm not stupid. I've lived 61 years. I've seen God provide. I've seen God's ways. The times when I struggled with my own two hands and I am going to make this thing happen, I would probably say 90% of it doesn't ever come to pass. And the things that God just speaks and allows and brings to pass, and whether it's a decision to buy a condo some years ago or whatever, I could tell you testimonies of my whole life. And I've not always got it right, because I had a few plans of my own that were going to really set me up. And my children still cry to this day thinking about it. But God just provides in a miraculous way. I remember when I lost funds in South Africa, money, which was big money to me. For some, it wasn't. But Kyle, my oldest son, he's like, think how many motorbikes you could have bought me with that money. I'm like, oh, son, I'm so glad that you're so concerned about me and my financial position. That's how he could relate it. That much money only meant these many motorbikes. Is like, and you just think, God is faithful to provide. And we are not supposed to be running. But he says he will give. He will add. These will be given to you. Hallelujah. Get that picture in your head. Running around, seeking, stressing, or trusting God, and God comes along and he says, I'll add these things. I'll give you these things. Man, can I just share one? You know, I've shared too many testimonies, but when we bought a condo over here in the south side on 99th Street or whatever it is over there, we weren't looking for it. We weren't trying to get it. We had no plan for it. We came home on a furlough with no picture of anything, no money, no nothing. It's a long testimony. And a businessman who was a friend of my brother who helped missionaries and did all kinds of things, he was the builder of those things, and he offered it to us at cost. And he said, would you like that? And like in about a 20-second decision, Lori and I, yeah, that'd be good. And I could tell you the whole miracle of how we got the down payment. And then they said, okay, you got to come and decide what colors you want in it. And I'm like, I don't have time, that we were leaving or whatever. So Lori, I think, and Melanie went for like half an hour and said, yeah, okay, we'll take that brown, yellow, green, whatever. Done. And we flew back to Africa. And even the contractor was like, yeah, I don't know if I've ever sold one of these to people who spent so little time thinking about it. It's like, yeah, I'll take it, make it brown, and we're done. It was like, and we are still living on the blessing of that, because when we came back now, which we didn't have plans back in the day to think we would be living back in Canada, we're able to sell that, and we are still enjoying the fruit of an amazing provision of God that had nothing to do with my skills, is what I'm trying to say. It wasn't chasing, it wasn't running, it wasn't stressing, it wasn't my mind is so powerful and amazing that I can put all these things together. Whenever I've tried to do that, it's not gone well. I had a plan. I had a dream. I was going to be a restaurant owner. Man, the little brick had nothing compared to our coffee shop in South Africa. And it never worked. Anyhow, that's another story for another day. Anyhow, we learn many lessons to listen to your wife sometimes when you're praying. Don't worry. Anyhow, how did I get stuck on this one for so long? So which way are you living? That's the question. Which way? Doesn't mean you don't work. Doesn't mean you get up and pray and trust God and step out. But it does mean that you're trusting God for what he's leading you into. You are walking with him. Let's look at another. When I look back at everything I have in my life that was of value, God gave it to us. I like this little, I don't know what you call it, a saying or whatever, example from our devotion. Nicky Gumbel, he's full of, you know, we do this, Nicky Gumbel's the alpha guy, and it's his daily devotion that we're going through. But his comment is this: worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere. Huh. How much time are you spending fretting and stressing and worrying? You know, my saying is always, worry must work, because most of the things I worried about have never happened. Don't worry. Put your trust in God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It means put God first. Seek Him. What's His purpose? What's His plan for your life, for you and for your family? And I'm telling you, God is faithful to work out the details. And it's not always perfect what we think. It's not always what we imagined it would be. But we can trust Him. And if we look back at the course of your life, you see His hand, you see His blessing, you see His faithfulness in our life over a lifetime. That's when we realize how faithful God is. Paul writing, let's look at another example, Philippians 4. I just got a couple of scriptures. Those were my points this morning. He's writing to them and he says, He will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in heaven. Hallelujah. You can read the verse if you want. But do you believe that God will meet all your needs? Be honest. Do you really trust God to meet all your needs? Or do you think He's somehow going to trick you? Somehow He's going to fail you? Somehow it's not quite enough. So, you know, I got to be a little bit more careful with my scheming and my planning. But do you believe that God can provide for you and for your family? According to His glorious riches in heaven. That is no small thing. I mean, hallelujah. Thank God for amazing wealth we see in this world. But think of the glorious provision and glorious inheritance and provision that God has for us. I think our problem is now trusting Him. Our problem is stop worrying. Stop chasing. Our problem is, okay, God has that. He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills, like our friend in South Africa used to say when he was trying to raise money to build a church. And people say, you know, God's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. You say, that is the most terrible thing you could say to me right now. I know He's got cattle on 1,000 hills, but what's that going to help me to pay off this building? But the point is, we must put our trust in Him, and we must believe that He is working on our behalf. Even when we don't see Him, you know, we sing those songs. We sing ourselves into trouble all the time. Even though I know that He's working, and then it's like, God, where are you? There's nothing happening here. Go back and sing that song again that you were singing on Sunday that sounded so beautiful. Yeah. I've never written that song. 1 Kings 17, it says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry. I love those stories, and if we had time, we'd talk. Just the miraculous provision of God. God's economy is not the world's economy. He doesn't work the same. You know, we are giving and receiving. The world is buying and selling. We live by a different economy. God has everything we need for life and for righteousness. If we can just lean back in Him a bit more, if we can just trust Him, if we can walk in that faith to say, God, man, I know You're faithful. Can I just use one more example? In our life, we had many times when we are living by faith. You know what? We're all living by faith. Be honest. We used to say you need more faith to be a businessman in Alberta than what we needed to live in Africa by faith. But my point was that when you live by faith, you're trusting God for every meal, like, we didn't have money to fly back to Canada if folks weren't faithful to help us stay in Africa. We didn't even have credit cards in the early days. You're walking, trusting God day by day. And I made decisions that I shouldn't have made out of fear. There was times when I thought, well, if I get myself in this circumstance, you know, our income, we don't know what it is. There's months there was none. There's months we had provision. If I get myself into these circumstances, how's this going to look? And I want to tell you, 41 years later in ministry, just saying, And Helmut is sitting here today, and he can tell you the same testimony, but longer. I'm just a kid compared to Moses over there. God has never failed. Those things I worried about never happened. See where he works. No, God was faithful. Was there times when we had to take out our bank books and anoint them with oil and say, Jesus, help us? Yeah. Was there times when you couldn't do what you wanted to do or do a holiday or do whatever? Yes. But I'm telling you, looking back, God's faithfulness through it all is unbelievable. And so when you're sitting here today, you're 40, 35, whatever you are, 100, but I'm talking to the younger guys, and you have small kids, and you're oh, my business, my company, my job, my... Can I just say something? Trust God. We have a Father in heaven. He is faithful. He knows what you need. Don't be like those pagans. Don't be one of those stressed out, running around guys. Don't. I'm saying that not like someone who's never done it. I've done it. It doesn't work anyhow. But looking back, you just see amazing faithfulness of God to provide. Things that shouldn't have happened that God brought about. Finances and miracles and just provision that you didn't even know was provision. God took care of. How about Matthew 14, 15, verse 15 to 21? It's the classic story of the two fishes and five loaves. The point simply is, what you have, give over to Jesus, give it to his lordship, and say, God, I give you what I have. Please make something of it. What you have, I like this comment, you haven't done so great with what you have yourself anyhow, so why not give it to God? You're not doing so well. Anyhow, so you might as well just give it over and say, God, this is what I have. Take it, bless it, break it, use it for your purpose and for your kingdom. And I'm telling you, the law of blessing and sowing is real. The law of trusting God and giving it over to him is real. And I'm going to skip Luke. It's just talking about worry, and I don't want to say anything more about worry. So to establish a pillar of provision in your life as a way of life, we need to do it. How do we do it? We put our trust in God. We believe, first of all, that we are valuable to him. Believe that he cares more for you than for the lilies of the field and so on. One of my life verses that I have preached on my whole life and shared it many, many times here is Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 10. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There, it's up there. Let's just read that one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. That's a good point. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So there's a whole sermon's in that verse, but simply put is that we have to learn to trust God. We have to learn to not lean on our own understanding, to acknowledge him in everything, and to not be wise in our own eyes, and to all the things that Proverbs says, and to walk it out day by day with God. Honor the Lord with your wealth. You know, why would God give us wealth if we're just going to abuse it, if we're going to use it for foolishness, if we're going to waste it? And sometimes, and I could take you to many, many scriptures where it seems like the wicked are prospering. You know, even the guys in the Bible are asking, God, how, this isn't right. And God says, wait, you're going to see. You're going to see. May not look like it, but we're winning. Hallelujah. And one day we'll get caught up if we're behind. And God will make it right. But here's where I want to end. It comes down to this. Do you believe God is on your side? Do you believe God will take care of you? Do you believe what God gives you is enough? And you don't compare yourself with someone else. You say, God, I trust you with my wealth. I will honor you with what I have. I will not be wise in my own eyes. I will not lean on my own understanding. I will bring this and put it in your hands, and I will trust you with it. And really believe that God is good and that he's faithful. And what he gives me, I rejoice in. You know, I've often joked, you know, I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better. But what I want is what God wants for my life. Anything that God has put into our life and into our hands, whether it's wealth or property or just joy or anything, has borne amazing fruit and throughout our life. And any of the things that we strive over and wrestle over, and even some of it was inheritance from my mother, I think what it's done in our family, and some of my sisters haven't talked to one another for like 20 years, it should be, it's a gift, and yet it turns ugly. It's not blessed. It's not nice. But what God gives, man, there's just a sweetness to it. There's a blessing in it. And so whatever food we have, whatever blessing we have, whatever we can do, we do it thankfully. We do it gratefully. We do it with joy in our heart to God, before God. Too many verses, but choose today. You're going to serve God, you're going to serve mammon. You're going to trust your own hands, or you're going to trust God. One more powerful saying. Whatever you put before God, whatever you place or put before God in your life, you will end up worshiping. You will end up honoring. What is it that you've put before God that needs to come down today? What is it in my life that I have to bring back and say, no, I'm not going to stress over that. I'm not going to look at a bank statement, or I'm not going to look at the news, or I'm not going to listen to a doctor even, or my own heart. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to worship him with my wealth. I'm going to worship him with my mind. I'm going to worship him with my life. And I'm going to trust him. And I believe in 20 years from now, if I'm still alive, I'd testify again this morning, that morning. Write it down, Russell. You're good at administration. 20 years from now, I'll say it. God is faithful. If Lori's mom was here, I'd have her testify. She's 20 years ahead of me. God is faithful. He's never failed. He will not fail you. He's the father to the fatherless. He is the friend above any friend. He is God, and he will take care of my life and your life. And I'm saying again, I get blessed when I see a Bev. I get blessed when I see a Carmen. I get blessed when I see people who just have crossed through our life in different ways, and just seeing the faithfulness of God. Man, I could preach that this morning. I am preaching that. If you didn't notice it. And I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to walk through this day. And I think Herman's the one who said it. Someone said it, or maybe it was PJ in the prayer meeting. This is not a time for us to be focusing on some stupid disease or some nonsense going. This is a time for us to focus on Christ and who he is and what he's done. This is a season for warriors. This is a season for faith to rise up. This is a season to do amazing things. Russell shared the testimony many times. The finances of this church have been blessed through this season. We haven't stressed. We haven't had to worry. We've been able to be generous. We've been able to do things to encourage and help people. God is faithful. I'm telling you, you go back in the Old Testament, I don't care if the barns are empty and the fields are wiped out and the grapes are finished. He says, I'm going to trust God. And I'm thankful this morning that I can stand here and testify to you. And I just, which pillar are we going to name provision, brother? What? We should just get crazy. We should write a sign on that pillar right there, provision. You believe God can provide? Every Sunday you're going to come here and you're going to see, I don't think we're going to do it, but just imagine. That pillar over there, it's called provision. That's got to be in my life. I'm going to build trust and hope and a family and a future and ministry and kids and grandkids and everything on a pillar of God is able to provide. And I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be free. What are we in? 2020. God provides. He'll take us through. We're not going to walk around like cripples and victims and poor and fear and doubt. And I come against it this morning. And I come back to the scripture of Peter. He said, he's able to provide everything we need for life and for godliness through Christ. Hallelujah. So how does he do that? By us trusting him, us walking with him, us putting our faith in his word and obeying him, living it out. And it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ, a foundation in your life. And if you don't have that, I ask you this morning to pray and say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Be Lord of everything. And if you've made that commitment, then I'm asking you to pray with me. Oh, almost fallen off. To pray, God, I'm giving it all to you again today. My plans, my desires, my finance, my family, whatever circumstance, my health. Doctors have given reports, whatever. You have an audience of people, you got all kinds of things. Today I'm going to trust you with my life. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that we can be in your house, even in a season like this, and we can worship Jesus. I thank you that we lift you up above everything else in our life. We will put nothing before God in our life, not our own desires, not our own worries, not our own temptations. May there be nothing before you today. And I pray, God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will work that into our hearts. What does that mean to lean not on our own understanding, but to acknowledge you, to confess you? Lord, I confess you this morning for this church and for families in this church. You are Lord of everything. And we trust you with our lives and we trust you with our futures. In Jesus' name. And just as you're praying and your heads are bowed, could I ask you this morning, if you're here and you say, you know, I would love to give my life to Christ. I have never given my heart to him. I would like to make him Lord of my life. Would you just lift your hand and let me see it for a moment? And I want to pray with you. Just put it up and say, pray for me, please. I want Jesus to come and be Lord of my life. Thank you. Thank you. Just be bold this morning. Say, I need Jesus. Thank you. And if you're here today and you know Christ, would you just in your heart this morning lift up your hand, lift up your heart in your heart today. Say, God, I confess you as Lord. Confess you of Lord of everything. No more stress, no more worry, no more taking these things back. We give them to you this morning. And I thank you that we can trust you with it. So, Father, I give you my finance. I give you my heart. I give you my grandchildren. I give you this church. I give you my heart today. And I trust you, Father. And I trust you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.